The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and it is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship in Kokomo, Indiana, and I am Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on the declaration of thy precious and sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, today I'm beginning a series of messages on the Gospel of John. In fact, we will go through the whole book of John, which might take us possibly over a whole year. So you might want to call your friends who are interested in serious Bible study and encourage them to listen in. These radio tapes, of course, will be available to you by contacting us, and I'll give you our address later on in one of the broadcasts. Now, as far as John is concerned, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Something that happens to many of us very easily is that when we read the Scriptures, that we begin to look at all the passages in the Word of God through our particular doctrinal glasses. For example, if you are a Lutheran Christian, you will likely see a lot of things in the Bible through the eyes of faith. Yes, you will see faith all over the place, because the foundation of the Lutheran Reformation was the just shall live by faith. If you are a Methodist Christian, and one of the old Methodist Christians, you'll probably see everything pretty well through the eyes of holiness or sanctification, which is a cardinal doctrine of the old Methodist Church. If you are a Pentecostal Christian, you will be very much orientated in the direction of looking for the power of God doing great and mighty things, miraculous things throughout the pages of His Holy Bible, and so forth and so on. I'd like to ask you, as we begin the study of the Gospel of John, to take off your eyeglasses of doctrinal distinctions, and for you to try to just look at God's Word as a hungering and thirsting child of God. In other words, really open your heart and your mind to whatever God has revealed in His precious Word. Now let me first make some introductory remarks about this beautiful Gospel. John's Gospel stands in a class by itself. The other three Gospels, which are called Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels because of their many similarities. And all of these Synoptic Gospels, my dear friends, were written before the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, which occurred about 70 AD. John's Gospel was written a generation later, after the destruction of Jerusalem. When the Synoptics were written, most people in the Roman Empire had not heard or were just getting acquainted with Christianity. But by the time John wrote his Gospel, about 90 AD, 20 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, the events of Christ had already spread over most of the Roman Empire, and consequently, John did not find it necessary to go into the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you see, that was already well known in the civilized world of that day. The miracles of Jesus were also well known and recited in many places of the world. So John focuses primarily on the parables and on the discourses of Jesus. An early scholar by the name of Gregory Nazianzen put the difference between the Gospel of John and the other Gospels this way. Now listen carefully. Matthew wrote the wonderful work of Christ for the Jew. Mark wrote it for the Romans. Luke wrote it for the Greek. And John is a herald who reaches the heavens for all. Well, enough for the introduction. Let us begin by looking at the first few verses of this great book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Observe, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, the total absence of the nativity of Christ. All synoptic gospels written begin with Christianity. It's Genesis in being in Bethlehem or Nazareth or in Galilee. John skips over all of that. He goes back another 4,000 years plus a whole good part of eternity to find the beginning of Christianity in the Word by saying, in the beginning was the Word with a capital W. So many scholars say Christianity began in the cradle in Bethlehem. And there's nothing wrong by saying that, but is there anything wrong by saying that Christianity began much before that? Is there anything wrong by saying that Christianity began before the foundations of the world were laid? Is there anything wrong by saying that Christianity began with Christ, the Word? If indeed we hold to the teaching that Christianity is Christ and Christ is Christianity, then we can say that Christianity began before the sun and the moon were placed in the heavens, before the eagle was flying through the air, before the fish was in the stream, and before the antelopes roamed the great plains, before light was separated from darkness and land from the sea. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So you see, the Word here with a capital W is Christ, and Christ was in the beginning with God. Children often ask, Father, where did you come from? And you say, I came from my mother. And then they say, well, where did mother come from? You say, well, she came from her mother. And it goes on until finally this takes us right back to the first man and the first woman, which are Adam and Eve. And then the children say, where did they come from? And we say, they came from God. God made them. And then the child says, or the children say, where did God come from? Well, my friend, here's good news. Here in John 1:1, we come to a resting place. We come to a person and persons that did not begin with anybody. We come to a person who himself is the beginning. And the beginning was the Word. So, there's something in the unlimited universe that had no beginning. But that was the beginning itself. And John is the only gospel writer who tells us about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let us further observe what this Word is. Let's get more specific about it. We say that this Word is a person, and it is a person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was and is the beginning, and who himself had no beginning. These scriptures tell us that there were at least two persons at the beginning who had no beginning, which is God the Father, the Word, and the Word Jesus Christ. By the way, the Word here, as we read it, comes from the Greek word logos, and the people in the first century were well familiar with the word logos. It is a word which cannot easily be translated with all its meanings and implications, but it is implied that the Word here is the expression of God. The Word here with a capital W is the law of God. The Word is the life of God. The Word here with a capital W is the light of God. It is the nature and the Spirit of God. It is Jesus Christ himself who is also God. So that Jesus later on said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We know now why John says that Jesus is a Word, the image, the expression of God. Now let us go further into the scriptures. There's verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4 and 5, which make this all so much the more clear. But let us skip over all these verses for now, and let me take you to the 14th verse of this chapter, which is Christmas, the Christmas story in the Gospel of John. Yes, we have a Christmas story in there in one single verse, because it says here, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us." You see, right here you have the incarnation. The Word was made flesh and He dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Now you can see that this verse, verse 14, alone, without the other verses in between, settles it, that Jesus is the one who is the Word, who was with God at the beginning, and who was and is God, who took on our flesh and our bones, our human form, and who dwelt amongst us. And that is what is called the incarnation of Christ. That is Christ, the Word, taking on human form. So, we learned this far. Number one, that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus was in the beginning, that Jesus was with God at the beginning, that Jesus was and is God. And that's quite a mouthful, isn't it, for a single scripture verse. Yes, here in the beginning verses, in fact, in the first verse alone, we have God the Father and God the Son. The Word was with God. Christ Jesus was with God, God the Father. But there's one more person whom we must include in the Godhead, and this is a person who dictated this whole gospel to us, to give it to us. And that's the Holy Spirit. And we find Him associated with God the Father in the beginning, in the first few verses of Genesis chapter 1. We must go there right now to see the John 1, Genesis 1 connection. It is very strong and very dynamic. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the Bible saying, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." It is right here now, from the perspective of John chapter 1, that we have a clear view of the Trinity. In John 1, we read that Jesus was with God in the beginning, and we read in John 1:3 that Jesus made all things, and then we have in verse 2 of Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit. It says, "The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And the word for God employed here in Genesis, the Hebrew word for God here, is Elohim. And Elohim really is a word that has plural implications. That's why you find in Genesis 1:26, it's saying God said, "Let us make man in our image." If there were only one person in the Godhead, God wouldn't have said, "Us, let us make man in our image." No. Here God's referring to His plurality, that He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of them were working together in the creation of this universe. So with these words, let us come to the close of our first lesson on John chapter 1. Now let me just read these three verses again and whet your appetite for the next program. So it says, "In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Yes, let us thank the early Christian scholar Gregory Nazianzen for his statement, "Matthew wrote the Gospel for the Jew, Mark for the Roman, and Luke for the Greek, and John is a herald who reaches the very heavens for all of us." I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.